Labor weekend is here. What a great opportunity to get stuck into some DIY jobs. We're joined by Stan Scott, and you can ask questions of Stan by texting or even better, emailing us, jesse@rnz.co.nz. Stan, hello there.
Kia ora, Jesse.
So, are you ready for quick fire?
Yeah, mate, quick fire, let's go.
Okay. I have a 5 to 7 centimetre crack in my acrylic shower floor, which is 15 years old now, the shower is. Am I wasting my time using acrylic repair kits or fibreglass? Should I instead buy a new shower, asks one person.
Yeah, definitely. Get rid of it. There's no point in trying to fix it. And if you've already got a crack that's been in there, more than likely there's water been getting through, so you really want to have a look to see what other damage it may have done. Now, to get that out, you can't just get the shower tray out on its own. You have to take the glass off and the doors. I presume it's with glass side doors and then acrylic backing on it. So if it's of that age, you're probably worthwhile just pulling that out and buying a new one. You can buy just new bottoms, but to get that bottom out, like I said, you've got to take the sides off as well, and you'll damage that. You won't be able to reuse it. So you're best just to put in a new one yourself. It's a job that you can do yourself. You don't need a permit to do it. And it's pretty straightforward. I do actually have a video on it if you want to watch it, how to install a shower enclosure. And it's pretty easy, so I recommend just go out and get a new one.
Okay, good one. Concrete front doorsteps are cracked and peeling. What to do, asks Fiona.
Cracked and peeling. Well, you could put a skim over them, get it skimmed, or you could tile it. The first thing I'd do is trying to have a look at to see what is causing the crack. Are the steps sort of subsiding because of back sort of like state house styles in the 50s and those concrete steps that used to lead up to them?
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a huge amount of foundation underneath them or any footing, so it was quite common for them to sort of subside. But if it's due to tree roots or something like that, they will keep on moving and slowly cracking. So it's sort of hard to say without really having a good look at it. And it all depends how much you want to spend on it. You could get a concrete resurfacer to do the work for you, to prep it and skim it, or get a tiler in and do the same and tile over it. It could be a good way to go. Or you could just get a concrete polisher in to polish it, but not too smooth that you would slip over on it.
Okay. Someone else wants to know about laying tiles. They want to do it on their wooden timber bathroom floor. How do they go about it? Can they just lay it on the timber?
Oh, no, definitely not. Put some... there's a product called Tile Slate Underlay, and it's about 6 millimetres thick. I think it's about 8 millimetres. Tile slate underlay, and it comes in 900 by 1.8 long generally. And it's glued and nailed about 50 millimetres around the centres and 100 mil throughout the middle of the board. You want to put that down first and then lay your tiles directly on top of that. If it's going into a shower enclosure area, I'd highly recommend that you get a waterproofer in first before any tiles go down, and make sure that you've tanked the floor correctly before any tiles go down. Yeah.
A follow-up to a previous question: do I need a permit if I'm replacing my shower, toilet, hand basin in the exact same position?
Yeah, no, look, this on this particular topic here, you don't need a permit. If you're replacing like for like, and you're not sort of changing the bath from one side of the room to the other, or vice versa, or the toilet or hand basin, you're just replacing like for like, you can definitely upgrade all that without a permit. It's what the council consider any pipes that are being changed considerably. I think it was their terminology, but... pretty easy job to do. Get a licensed plumber in to do it all for you.
Stan, I have some loose tiles on the kitchen floor, says someone. We could do a whole session on tiles, couldn't we? If I just super glued them myself rather than getting in the tiler, would this work?
Definitely not super glue, but you want to use a, there's a grout removal tool that's sort of got like a little handle and it's got like a tiny little abrasive, wouldn't say blade, but it's sort of like a funny little head on it. And it's used for removing the grout. So you very, very gently use that grout removal tool, remove the grout, pop the tile up from the inside of the tile out as opposed to trying to lever against the existing tiles because they'll chip. So in some situations, yeah, it's better to use like a hammer and sort of crack that tile to take it out, replace it with a new one, and use some. You can get a bucket of pre-mixed tile adhesive, put that down, and if it's only a little area, you can buy a tube of tile grout as opposed to buying a big bag of it. You can buy a coloured grout that's already in like a big toothpaste tube, so you don't not wasting too much money buying a big bag, and then just have a look at the grout colour and get the applicable colour.
Someone's got a cracked ceramic oven top across an element. Anything they can do about that?
I'd definitely call a appliance servicing chap for that one. He has stepped out of my league.
How to remove rust spots on colour steel, asks Adam in Otago.
Yeah, now, generally this one happens is when the colour steel's been installed and then someone's either drilled a hole for pot riveting or for whatever, there's some filing has been put on it. And it's just when you're drilling a hole into colour steel and if any of that filing is left on there, it can rust. Very hard to get off. Generally, after we've laid a roof, I'd use sugar soap and a broom, but I really wouldn't know the best way to take that off without damaging the surface. I would probably advise on this one here, Jesse, to talk to a roofing company about that. Once that rust is on there, it's very, very hard to get off.
Okay, good advice.
Yeah.
Any suggestions on a product to use on my villa front porch? At present, it's Cody, I think, but I've got a quote to replace it, and it was very expensive.
For tongue and groove floorboards, generally on a villa, what they used to use on villas was a 6-inch wide tongue and groove board. Now, many years of restoring old villas and, you know, when the client doesn't want to put down a native timber out on the front there, which was generally a Cody or Matai or Remu in some situations, that it is very, very expensive. So going with a pine, I wouldn't recommend going with a 6-inch board anymore to match that look. I would go with a 4-inch board. And the only reason I'm saying that is because a 6-inch carry board, a 6-inch pine board now just doesn't react the same as a Cody board. So I would go with a smaller board and it's less likely to move. Say like a 90mm tongue and groove, make sure it's pre-primed like two coats before you put it all down.
Thank you. Any ideas for keeping rats out of the roof space?
There is a product that you can put underneath your roofing iron, sort of, you know, where the roofing iron comes into the gutter. And in fact, this is what's happening in my place too, in my sleep out there.
Wow.
The rats have been getting up there. And so what it is like a bitumen sort of a product. It's like a foam bitumen-based product, and it's in the shape of the corrugated iron, and it sort of just tucks in directly underneath that space of the roofing iron. Failing that, I would say also a really good quality leaf guard that gets pot riveted to your fascia, to your guttering, and then attached onto your roof, and that stops any vermin whatsoever getting in up on the underside of your roofing.
I guess you just want to make sure you seal it up while the rats aren't already in there, huh?
Look, I've been told that those rat exterminators that have got like a high UV, like a high frequency, ultrasonic sort of sound. I believe a friend of mine down in South Canterbury, he said on his farm, he's used one of those in his office and it's worked really, really well.
One more quick one. I put a new jib board up in my room a few months ago and didn't plaster or paint it. Now the board has turned yellow. Can I plaster over it?
Yeah, you can, but it's sort of what it's called sunburnt. And whether it's been up for 2 years or only 2 months, and if it started to go a bit sunburnt, you're going to need to put a pigmented sealer on. Now, this is an oil-based paint, and it's a little bit stinky, but putting that on is going to make sure that the plaster is going to stick. So you put that on, and then you can get your stopper in to stop over top of it.
Stan, what a pleasure. Thanks so much for your help.
You're most welcome, Jesse. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm currently in Katikati, and the roads are pretty darn busy, so please take it easy out there.
Oh, yeah. Give Victoria a shout. She's there with the kids at the moment. You might run into her. Might offer you a cup of tea.
Nice one, mate. Thanks. I'll give her a high five as I go through.
All right. Stan Scott, our builder, he mentioned a video there. He's made a series of videos for Mitre 10. If you want to look them up, you'll find them easily enough.